Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Good singing. How you doing? Well, Pastor John Wayne, Tom Selleck, Downer is 52 years old, but he doesn't look it. Say amen.
Amen.
You know it's coming. I'm 80 years old, and I don't look it.
Amen.
You know, I thought growing older would take longer. I really did. And I was in CVS, which is only a couple blocks from our church there on Blanding Boulevard in Jacksonville. This happened a couple of years ago, at least. And so I knew John that was at the register. He was a good Christian guy that's in another church not far from ours. And so there was a man that I was waiting on for him to get done, so I'd be next. So I was standing by this man's side. And I didn't know, but he and John had been talking about churches, evidently, and something had come up about Blanding Baptist. And so this guy standing next to me, he says, "Oh, are you talking about that church down the street here where that great big sign is, where there was that preacher that was there for year after year after year after year?" I mean, he went on like that. And so I just said, and he looked at me and said, "I'm that pastor." And boy, I'll tell you what, John come unglued, and we had the hardest laugh, the timing of that. But he was there for year after year. Well, I guess I was. Went there when I was 26, first church and only church I ever pastored, and had the joy of pastoring Blanding for 38 years, and then transitioned out of that into this. And have been thankful for God's blessing ever since. And so thank you for being here tonight. I tell you what, I enjoyed that choir. I really did. It's one of my favorite songs. And we've sure been blessed of the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. To Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, I would like to read verses 29 through 39. Because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself. And we're talking tonight to you about the simple fact that you can be happy. You can be happy. We're looking at Mark chapter 1, page 1528 in my Bible. Mark chapter 1. Are you there?
Yes.
Beginning in verse number 29. Now, when you read the Word of God, when I read, you follow right along and open your mind and turn your imaginations on and picture this as we read. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils." Some scholars say that there could have been hundreds that were touched that night by the Lord. "And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." What a picture we have in the wonderful Word of God there tonight. Now, we're talking tonight about happiness, and I just went through some references that I had this afternoon and wrote down a few things here, just little notations about that some have said about happiness. It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes us happy. And if God lets you live long enough, you will find out just how true that is. Enjoy the little things for one day. You will look back and discover that they were the big things. Most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Happiness is good health and a bad memory. Happiness depends on what's happening. Do you want to be right? Oh, now listen, this is really good for husbands and wives. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. This is really good for husbands and wives. Do you want to be right or happy? Now write that one down. If you take notes, that's a good one. Would you rather be right than happy? And happiness is letting go of your ideas about happiness. Well, you can be happy. We find tonight in the Word of God that it is not by having wealth and having fame and having popularity that we find true happiness in our lives. The teachings of the Lord Jesus run counter to the messages that the world gives us about happiness. But Jesus' teachings were consistent with his life. From the beginning of his ministry, crowds surrounded him everywhere he went. His disciples thought, boy, this is great. They couldn't understand at all why Jesus didn't share in their excitement. According to worldly standards, Jesus at this point in his life was a smashing success, an overnight sensation, a true hit. And so the disciples were trapped into thinking that more was better. They thought that this was what Jesus wanted. There were times they didn't understand Jesus at all. And if wealth and fame and acceptance don't bring happiness, the simple matter is, where can happiness be found? Now, for just maybe a couple of hours tonight, I want to give you three things that will truly help you and will help me to be happy. Are you listening? Number one, I don't want to dance.
You don't.
Number one, happiness begins with a touch. It begins with the touch of the Master's hand. Here was this one who lay sick, and Jesus came on the scene. And you will notice that he did not say anything. There's no spoken word here. He simply touched her and lifted her. It was the touch of the Master's hand. And I'll tell you what, I get as excited right here tonight as I did 67 years ago when I was 13 years of age. How did I make it here to 80? Matter of fact, I was telling Brother Williams on the way here that my doctor, Dr. Garmin Dia, there in Jacksonville, we've been with him for decades, and we've been very, very, very tight. He's not only my medical doctor, he is a true friend. And Dr. Garmin Dia, when I was in, about a year ago, he said this. He was looking through my chart, and he said, are you surprised you've lived this long? That's my doctor. To me, and what he was doing, he was thumbing through the papers, you know, and he was referring in particular to the time back when I was just 56 years of age and diagnosed with prostate cancer and had radical surgery and all that we went through that process. And he was referring back to that. He said, do you know how fortunate you are? I said, I'm thankful to God every day. And then this last time I was in for my regular annual checkup, when he was going through all the information that he had, here's what he did. He looked over his glasses. He's a tall, he's just a great guy, tall, good-looking guy like you. And he was looking over his glasses, and here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, you're not getting old, you're old." My doctor said that to me. Now, he's a dear friend, and what he's been trying to do for a long time now is get me to gear down. He's always telling me, "Are you still doing all this running?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm still going because I love it." And now, you know, I don't have to do this. I don't need to do this to pay my bills. I don't have to do this. I do this because there's a fire burning in me that's burned ever since I was a teenage young man with the call to preach the gospel of Christ. And I tell you what, I'm as excited about what I'm doing now as I was when I started.
Amen.
But the problem is my body is writing checks. My mind is writing checks that my body can't cash. And so Dr. Garmadia is saying, "Now I want you to trim this down a little bit. This time I'm going for a month. I'm from Jacksonville to here. I'm from here to Odessa. I'm close in here again, and then I'm up in Weatherford with Brother Chuck Weatherby." And so Loretta said, "Honey, you're going a month again?" And I said, "Well," and you know, actually, she gets a lot more done when I'm not there. A lot of times people say, why doesn't your wife travel with you? Well, I'm going to tell you why. I know you're interested, aren't you? Say amen. I mean, I'm telling you this because you're interested in it. Some people say, she never has tried to keep up with me in all these meetings because my wife, now she's a beautiful, you saw her picture today. She's 78 and just, she's a beautiful Texas model right to this day. We got two of the prettiest daughters, and you're praying for Starla. We've always had a dog. I am a dog lover. Oh, I wish every one of you could meet Buddy. I wish he could come in here right now and come up on this platform, and I could show you Buddy. I mean to tell you, I am a dog lover. Now, don't talk to me about cats. I'm allergic to cats, but I'm a dog. But my wife, she is a homebody. She always has been. You know that, Valerie. She's a great homemaker. She loved raising the girls. She's loved working with the grandchildren. She loves to help every way she can that way. She keeps a wonderful house. She's always busy. It kind of irritates her. I don't know why in the world I'm telling you all of this tonight. But it irritates the fire out of her that women will say to her when I'm leaving, what are you going to do? Aren't you so lonesome and all that? And she gets tired of hearing that because she's busy. She gets up early. She stays up late. She's always doing something. She has ministry of calling people and helping all the people that she can. And frankly, all these grandkids, I'm going to tell you what. You know, I thought when I got Starla and Shelly raised, I thought when they hit 18 and got married and got out of the house, I thought I was going to have the greatest freedom I ever had in my life. What a shock I got. Man, I'll tell you what, it's just starting then. It's just starting. It goes on and on and on. And I told the preacher lunch today, I've learned something about life. It goes on and on and on. But she's a homebody. And then preacher, you understand this as a pastor, it takes a real combination of things for this to happen. If I was sacrificing my marriage or my wife or my home, I wouldn't go. Now she's told me for a number of years now that she gets sadder when I'm packing and getting ready to go. And it bothers her more that, but she doesn't complain about it. And then once I'm going, matter of fact, when I get home, when I go in the door, the first thing I say, "Is everything quiet here?" And she'll say, "It was." It was. But it takes a special combination of things. It doesn't just happen for this to happen. But I'll tell you what, I told Dr. Garmendia, I said, "You know, Doc, I'm going to shop till I drop. I'm just going to keep on preaching and going and doing what I can do and thank God for the joy of doing it and be sensible about it, and to God be the glory." Oh, I'll tell you what, I feel so good telling you all of that. Might not have helped you a bit, but made me feel so good to tell you all about that. Without the right kind of a wife, this could not happen. Without the right kind of a wife, you could not do what you do. We cannot make it without the right kind of a wife. And by the way, you ought to pray for the preacher's wife, because she's got to live with the preacher. You know, you couldn't have, listen, flattery gets you nowhere, but I believe in honest praise. And I want to tell you what, I've crisscrossed this country. I've been in Rhode Island. I've been anywhere you want to name, Tennessee, Ohio, Texas, just about all but probably 12 or 15 states I've had the joy of preaching in. But I love America. I think America is the greatest country in the world. And if people won't stand for the flag, they ought to get going. They ought to just get going. I'd help pay for a one-way ticket to get them to Cuba or to Russia or somewhere where you don't have the blessed liberties we have here. Amen. Somebody says, I don't like that, preacher. That's all right, I'm leaving Wednesday. It don't matter. I thank God for this country. And I'm going to tell you, I see a lot of preachers, and I've seen some great men of God that their wives take down more in 5 minutes than they can build in 5 years. They just don't have the right kind of a wife. And when you've got a team where you have the preacher that preaches a word and has a true pastor's heart, it's hard to find now. Amen. Somebody with a true pastor's heart, and get that wife to complement that ministry and a family to back it up, you got a whole lot to be thankful for, and I thank God for that. And I love what I do because I love to be with preachers. I love preachers. I love to encourage a preacher any way that I possibly can. And when I look back to that 67 years ago, when Jesus came into my heart, when he touched me that Sunday morning at the Orlando Baptist Temple in Orlando, Florida, and the Holy Spirit drew me to Christ, don't brag on anything about your salvation. He did it all. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. You know something I thought about just this afternoon? This thing still works some. Just this afternoon, preacher, and what I do is I pace. I just do better. I think better. I study better. And I pray better when I'm moving. Dr. Garmendy, the first time he met me, he said, you're not double A, you're triple A. I mean, there's something about me, I'm better. And so I was walking in that beautiful hotel room. Thank you, preacher. I was just walking, and I got to thinking about what I was preaching today, and the fact of Jesus Christ saving my never-dying soul. And I thought about the pastor inviting me to preach the youth camp at Minnetonka Youth Camp when I was 74 years old. And where it tied together, preacher, on that 74 is that when I was 74, that's the year that I gave up my Harley. I rode motorcycles all my life. From the time I was 12 years old, I was on motor scooters or cycles all my life. I needed that. Now, if I had a son, I'd buy him 3 cars before I get him a motorcycle, because a motorcycle is about the most dangerous thing you can do. It really is. Some of the deacons, I had 18 great deacons, preacher, and they would come to me and say, preacher, can't you do something safer? And you know what I told them? I told them, you know what? I believe God can protect me on that motorcycle as good as he can anywhere else, and I do believe that. And he did over 300,000 miles on motorcycles with my buddy Pat McCall and a whole lot of that. Man, I loved it. But golf was too slow for me. Really, when I played golf, I was preaching sermons and in deacons meetings. But when you're on a motorcycle, you're riding for your life. You know, you have to have total attention to what you. And boy, the feel of that road and that rush. I love that. But I had to give it up because I wanted to be a good steward. And I got just a little bit of an edge off that I knew, you know, I'm not as good as I ought to be. So I went down to the Mazda place when I was 74. I went down to the Mazda place and I traded that Harley it was about 4 years old, but I traded my Harley for a Mazda Miata convertible 6-speed stick shift car. And I got almost an even trade. And it was right about that time that the pastor said, would you come up, would you go to Minnetonka? Well, I went in that Miata. Did I ever have a time? You know, that helped me get off the Harley, getting into that. And I was singing about that today. What a good time I had to driving that little Miata convertible to the youth camp. And there at that camp, I hadn't been there till you invited me, although we'd been there for years and years with missions meetings and all that. But I hadn't been there since they built that tabernacle. And I went into that tabernacle, and there was that beautiful facility with the solid wood ceilings and floor and wall. And I'll tell you what, the sound in there, you could drop a pin in there if nobody was in there, and probably the sound was just great. And I went into that youth meeting, and I'm going to tell you what, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that week. I mean to tell you, it was exciting. There were several hundred. There were nine churches that were involved in that camp, and there were several hundred of those teenagers. And I mean to tell you, I had the best. This old 74-year-old man had a great time at Minnetonka Youth Camp. What a joy it was! But the thing I remember the most, preacher, the thing that I remember the most, and I hadn't got over it to this day. And I thank you for inviting me to come there, because that meant a whole lot to me than you could know. I'm going to tell you, the thing I think about the most is when we gave the invitation there one night. I don't remember which night it was. It might have been the last night. But when we gave the invitation that night, we sang, Jesus paid it all. And I'm going to tell you what, when you had that several hundred teenagers in that building singing together, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I'm telling you what, preacher, the chills run up and down my back. And even when I think about it and preach about it now, it's a thrill to me, because it was so beautiful. And it is so beautiful, the fact that Jesus did pay it all. Amen. Happiness begins with the touch of the Master's hand. Amen. Aren't you glad you can look back and remember the time when Jesus washed your sins away? Amen. Billy Graham, in the early days of his ministry, he went into a little town, and it's in his biography, and he asked a little boy on the street, said, can you tell me how to get to the post office? And the little boy told him how to go, and then Billy Graham said to the little boy, now if you come to the revival meeting I'm in this week, I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. And the little boy said, how are you going to do that if you don't know the way to the post office? But you know what? Now that actually happened. But the thing about it is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. Are you still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Secondly, nobody knows. You think I forgot, don't you? Secondly, happiness comes when you realize the power of prayer. The power of prayer. In our culture today, the philosophy is the busier you are, the happier you are. Not true. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this tonight, because I want to be right with the time. But I'm going to tell you what, we're all too busy. There is too much activity, social media, too much going on. Man, you can't even gas your car up without advertising and a movie coming up. You can't even fill your car up without them feeling they got to be pushing something at you. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to really work. We have to really work to discipline ourselves, to shut out all of this garbage flying around us, and have time with the Lord. Amen. Meditative time, meditation time. That's why there's so much anxiety and all these suicides. Man, there's too much going on. Things are moving too fast. And you say, well, preacher, you got to catch up with the times or get run over. Let them run. understand the importance, the power of Jesus did. There they were in Simon's house, and early in the morning, Jesus is gone. They can't find him. Where's Jesus? After all these people that he touched and healed, maybe by the hundreds that he touched and healed, where's Jesus and where is he? He's found a private place. He's found a place where he can be alone and get in touch with his Father. And I'm going to tell you what, if he needed that, you and I need it too. We do. We need that time with the Lord. No wonder we're so frustrated. I want to remind you of one of my favorite stories. You know, I just see this. Of one of my favorite stories is about Chippy the parakeet. And the lady was vacuuming her house one day. She was really going to town. And old Chippy was in the cage just chirping away. And so she decided that she would clean the cage with the vacuum cleaner. So she got it where she just had the hose, and she went, she stuck the hose in and was vacuuming the, you know, the bird cage. And the telephone rang, and she reached back and got the phone, and when she did, the wand went up and caught old Chippy and sucked him right up the tube, right into the canister, right into the dirt and the grime. And she screamed and turned the vacuum off and opened it, and there old Chippy was, just a shaking and trembling and all dirty. And she said, oh my, and she got Chippy out and she took him into the bathroom and she turned the water on and it was cold. And she put Chippy under that cold water to wash him off. And old Chippy was just a shaking. And then she took Chippy and put him back in the cage. And a little later, a friend called and said, how's Chippy doing? And she said, well, he's not singing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Well, you know what? That's the shape most of us are in today. We're too shook up with too much going on. We need time with the Lord. Hey, preacher, I had this lady in the church, Reba Hall. I thought about her today. Reba Hall, just a great saint of God. Her husband had a major stroke, and she took care of him for 25 years. He was bedridden, and she stayed with him. That's the kind of person she was. She was really a sweet person. And so Reba Hall, she for our auditorium class one time, she was asked to give a devotion. And she was kind of a shy person. And I heard that and I thought, boy, Reba Hall, isn't that something? She's going to give a devotion. And so Loretta and I were able to be at that particular social. And Reba gave the devotion, and her devotion was on prayer. And what I'll never forget, in such a humble, sweet way, Reba said, you know, there's power in prayer. And it was prayer that helped me get through taking care of my husband all of these years. And he had just died recently before then. And she said, it was prayer that got me through all of that. And she said, listen, God answers prayer. And he does. He does. And then here's what she said that I'll never forget. She said, he always answers your prayers. Always. She said, sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says, are you kidding? I'll never forget that. That's how God can use people, you see. I preached all the country about that from little old Reba there in the church, a sweet woman. Yeah, sometimes he says, are you kidding? The thing about it is, folks, God does always answer prayer. But he answers it in his time, in his plan. On his schedule, not our schedule. Just like that nightmare of a life I came up as in the home I was in with the dad that hated God and the church and beat my mother up and all the nightmare we went through all those years after Pat and I, my sister and I got saved. There I was 13, she was 15 there at the temple. Man, it was a nightmare. But we prayed for Dad. He married a woman that he'd been dating a year. I went to the Bible Baptist Seminary then. And 18 years old, I left Jacksonville. No interstate highways then. That's how old I am. Wasn't even interstate highways. All the way from Jacksonville to Arlington, Texas, with no money and a beat-up car that was shot. I mean to tell you, we had some real experiences those days, didn't have any help. My dad, my own dad, said, I'd rather see you dead than in that seminary, and you'll never get a dime out of me. And I never did get a dime out of him, but God's not broke, you see. And by faith, God got us through all of that. But Dad ended up marrying this woman he'd been dating for a year, and then we didn't even know where he was. for several, didn't even know where he was. And yet we kept on praying for Dad. We kept praying for him. Didn't hate him. We love him. Listen, you hate the sin and love the sinner. Don't ever let the devil put hate in your heart towards anyone. And so we kept praying for him. And then in God's way, as only he could do, Dad got saved. After 16 years of prayer, he got saved. And I wish I had time. I'm not going to take it tonight to tell you what all transpired so quick together in that timing towards the end of his life. He died at 53 with lung cancer, 3-pack a day. But oh, God saved my dad. And he promised me he'd meet me in heaven. It took 16 years. We didn't even know where he was. Does that mean God wasn't hearing our prayers? No. Keep on praying. Keep on. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the burden go out. But again, and I've got to throw this in every time I talk about it, don't let your burden become a plague. God's not pleased with that. Have care and concern and pray, but don't let it become a plague to you, because that robs you of the joy of the Lord's salvation. And God's not, don't let any of that stuff become a plague. That's where our trust and our faith comes in the Lord. Some people just don't get it. Preacher, can't you just see this? This little boy was trying to pull one over on his mother. And boy, she caught him. She caught him. And she said to him, "What in the world's the matter with you? Do you think I have stupid written across my forehead?" And he said, "No, I can't read." They just don't get it. Are you still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Thirdly. Did I say that? Thirdly, happiness comes when we have our priorities in order. Our priorities in order. What are the priorities? God first. Family. Church. Have your priorities. Too many people don't have their priorities in order. Trust, love God. Let him be Lord of your life. God first in all things. No wife, no husband, no child should ever, or a true Christian will never, be jealous of God being first in their mate's life or their children's lives. God first. Then family. Now, I was going to tell you this morning and it'd take the time. But there was a young lady, when I checked into one of the hotels on the way here, there was a young lady at the that was registering people in. And she was sitting there, and I can just see her right now, sitting there. She's just a young lady, Hispanic lady. She was sitting there. And so, you know, I just walked in the door and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she smiled and said, "Well, I'm doing all right." And I walked up there and said, "Well, do you have a no smoke for one?" And so we got to talking, and there wasn't, it was amazing. Wasn't anybody else around. It was a nice place. There wasn't anybody around. And so I said, "How are you getting along?" And she said, "Well, it's been kind of rough." And I said, "Really, what's going on?" And she said, "My daddy just died." Said he was 56 years old and died with a massive heart attack. She said his daddy died at 54 with a massive heart attack. She said then I had someone else in the family that got killed in a car crash. And she said all this has happened close together. Said my dad never did anything wrong to her. I never heard him speak an ill word to him. Never one time did I see my mother not treat him treat him right." And said my dad went off with this woman he'd been dating for a year and divorced my mother. And boy, preacher, she just went through this stuff, and I just stood there and listened. I'm gonna tell you what, if people listen, it's good to let God use you to help people. Now, I was very tired. I'd put in about 8 or 10 hours on the road, and I was tired, but I wasn't too tired for that. And I'll tell you what, they know if you're sincere. They do. They know if you mean it. What you? And I just listened to her. And then I said, "You know what?" I said, "You talk to me like you know the Lord." And I'm not preachy about it. There's a difference. I said, you talk to me like someone who knows the Lord. And tears come up in her eyes. And she said, I could have never made it. She said, I had some people tell me, you are so strong, you are, to be able to go through all you've been through and work and take care of your husband like you do. And she said, but it's God that did it. She said, God worked. God helped me do it. Man, we just had revival there. I give these people a tip when I check in. You say, why do you do that? Just a witness. I've got a card and this plan is and I do it. And you know what? They just break into a big grin. Like, well, yeah, I couldn't believe how surprised they are. And I had to give them my card and a tip. And I said, now look, I'm going to be praying for you. And I do. You know what I do? I do it right then. I do it when I get in the car. Don't tell somebody you pray for them and don't do it. I do it. And I got in the car and I said, oh God, I pray that you will help her. Now listen, if you have a Christian home, if the husband and the wife are saved and the kids are saved, thank God for it every day. And listen, if you don't have that, trust God about it. God's in the fixing business. And he will, if you will trust him, he will see you through all of that to the other side, and you look back and say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Happiness comes with having our priorities right. Did it come out that time? Huh? You know, we preachers get that little white stuff comes around here, and then we say, preach the word, and somebody gets it. That's why I appreciate people that sit close to the front, because they get it. Sometimes I see it and even wipe it off, but I don't see it on you. Happiness is having your priorities in order. Now stand with your heads bowed, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we stand in the presence of our wonderful Savior, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.